You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
2014 Cleveland Browns season tickets are on sale now. Secure the best seats at the best prices to cheer on your Cleveland Browns at the newly renovated First Energy Stadium. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci, if you're just joining us, Alex Mack has signed his offer sheet with the Jacksonville Jaguars. 5 years, $42 million. The key important facts, again, $18 million guaranteed over the first 2 years. He has an option to void out of the contract at that time. If he stays for a third season, the deal would go to 3 years, $26 million guaranteed, and then he'd get $8 million in each of the final 2 seasons of that deal, non-guaranteed. No trades, no tags allowed as per the terms of the deal that he signed today. That brings us to our question of the day, which is, are you the person? Do you want to have the return of the Mac? Do you want Mac to come back? Would you match for Mac, or would you let Mac walk? Let us know, 216-578-0850, or tweet the show at Browns underscore Daily. Bob in Medina, you are first up.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi, Bob.
All right, I'm the general manager of the Browns, and he just signed with the Jacksonville Jags, and I can match the offer. I would call Alex Mack personally, and I would say, okay, now that you have the deal you wanted, where do you want to play? If you want to play in Jacksonville, no problem. We won't match the offer. If you'd rather play with the Browns, we will match the offer. But we don't want to force you to be here if this isn't where you want to play. And we also don't want to get involved in, because 5 minutes after he signs, you're all going to be talking about how, is he going to opt out after 2 years? So I think there's a little bit
that's
of
a long. That's, first of all, that's a long time away. Second of all, he may find after 2 years the notion of finding $8 million guaranteed for him as a center at the age of 31 might be tough to do. I think for the Browns, I like the fact that there is almost that window at 2 years. It gives you plenty of time to have a succession plan in place if you so choose. And if he decides that he wants to stay for the third year, you're in good shape there anyway, because that means he's playing probably at a solid level there. So I that part of it actually surprised me. If that was supposed to be kind of the quote-unquote poison pill in there, I don't think it is at all.
Yeah, I don't either. I think this thing was tame in comparison with what we were expecting, given all the hyperbole, whatever we heard from the agent. But he was doing his job, and he was trying to, I think, also talk to the Jaguars. He was actually talking to the rest of the NFL about getting the most he could get for his guy so that they wouldn't feel trepidation that the Browns that they would, in fact, be doing the Browns' work for them. But that is what happens here. To the question of, he's got to satisfy the answer to the question of, do you really want to be a Brown, and do you want to be here, or do you want to play for Jacksonville? Look, this is a given going into these things, that you seek an offer from another team. Alex Mack, that's an understood thing, that when you sign that deal, you're not signing it knowing that you're going to stay and play for that team, that other team. You sign it knowing full well that the original team could match it. And the vibe of not wanting to play for the Browns, I think, has been satisfied behind the scenes with Alex's conferences or conversations with the Joe Thomases of the world and any other teammate he has there. If they had any doubt that Alex Mack didn't want to be on their football team, we'd be hearing a far different narrative from those players.
I think that is true, number one. Number two, I think that it's negotiating. It's negotiating.
Right.
That's why I kept saying, I don't know how Alex Mack feels, but they are putting the perception out that he doesn't want to be there. Why? To attract attention. Now that he's got that attention, now all of a sudden those same sources are saying they're hearing that he'd be happy to play out this contract in Cleveland. This was about one thing and one thing only, in my opinion, and that is the almighty dollar. It was about money. And again, I do not blame any professional athlete, especially one who plays in as violent and as short term of a game as the game of football, for Alex Mack to go out there and try to get as much money as he possibly can.
Right.
Him signing this offer sheet means to me that he is totally fine playing with the Cleveland Browns, because, folks, if he didn't want to sign this offer sheet, okay, if he didn't want to be a part of the Cleveland Browns, he says goes about it this way. He signs his transition tag immediately and becomes a free agent at the end of the year and says, basically, if you really want me that bad, then you've got to franchise me, which is going to be $12+ million. So if that was the way that he wanted to really play hardball with them and get 22 over 2 years, that's what he would have done if he really wanted out.
No doubt. If you want it out, take the one-year deal and take the shortest amount of time you can with this team and put the team on the hook for paying more money to try to keep you. Let's go to Jeff in Indiana. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, I think, and Nate, you alluded to this in your first segment, that it's a win-win for both sides, really. At the beginning of the free agent period, Alex Mack had said, you know, he wanted to test the free agent market. He might not get this chance again. He wanted to shop for offers. You know, he wasn't accepting the Browns' first offer, so the Browns did a smart thing and saying, hey, we'll transition you, and you can go out and do the negotiating for us. And I like what Pat Kerwin said yesterday on the show, that it takes a lot of the difficult or the hard negotiating out of it. Let someone else do it.
Yep.
And the Browns, I think, are in a completely financially able situation for them to match. And so I'll let you take that, and thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Jeff. Yeah, there's no doubt this was the total win-win. Ed on a sell. Hello, Ed.
Sure.
What's up?
I would definitely tell my general manager, Alex Mack, go find him. We're going to match it. And no matter who you have at quarterback, I wouldn't draft one at number four. I would sure up the right side of that offensive line.
Yeah, you need to do that. I think we know that, you know, Paul McQuiston is probably a short-term fix at guard there on the right side, and you do want to address that. Maybe Mitchell Schwartz could move inside. You draft a right tackle. There are a lot of things, and I still fully expect Alex. I've always, in my mind, when I was going through the Browns and my projections for this season and my projections for what I think this team's going to be on offense, Alex Mack was there. Mm-hmm. So, to me, it doesn't change the fact that you still need to draft a lineman. I think you still need to draft a lineman in this draft, and I still would not be surprised if it happened that early. If it happened at four, as I've said, I think that you're either going to see a Clowney or a Mack on defense at number four, or you're going to see a Robinson or Matthews on offense, because having that offensive line is a good thing, and starting to keep in mind that you might want to have some succession planning along the line at all the spots. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's always a good place to be good in the National Football League. So I don't think it changes things. I think they're still going to look for help on that line, maybe a guard or a right tackle in this draft. But I think that when you break it down, ultimately, are the Browns paying a premium for Alex Mack if they match this deal? Yes. But are they paying such a premium over what they were willing to pay that it becomes unbearable? No. And the fact that it's a two-year out after, you know, when he's 31, is that a deal breaker? I don't think so either. And when you know that they were willing to pay in at least, theoretically, $10 million this year. We know, not even theoretically, they were absolutely ready to pay $10 million. If you wanted to keep him for 2 years in the worst-case scenario, which would have been a transition and then a franchise, we're talking $22 million for the first 2 years. Then you're basically getting him now in this deal at 18 for the first two and 26 for three if he elects to stay. So you'd only be paying $4 million in that third year. If the Browns would have had a very difficult time if they had franchised him this year at $12 million to then get him to somewhere around $6 million in year two, I don't think it's that bad of a deal for the Browns.
And to the caller's point about what to do next as far as the draft is concerned, and more and more, you know, the talk is shifting possibly to a non-quarterback at number four. And do you go in the direction of an offensive lineman, of a tackle at four? Some very good ones available in this draft. Could be a very sound pick for this football team, and maybe that is where the best value is. I continue to hear folks who analyze this draft say the best players are those linemen, are the Greg Robinsons, you know, are the Jake Matthews, that those are the players that resonate as being the safest and truest top five picks that you could make in this draft. I don't know if that means anything from the Browns standpoint or from the standpoint of any team picking in the top five or the top 10, because, you know, you hear these players attached to various clubs that have, you know, maybe the truer need at that position. But with quarterback being a predominant need for the Browns, it's still hard for me to drift far from the conversation. I'm going to need to see and hear a scenario that is completely, you know, I haven't, no one within the organization or out or throughout the league, Nathan, has successfully talked me out of thinking that a quarterback isn't the priority for this football team. You know, even with Brian Hoyer there, that there's just no sense that you've got this thing nailed down.
Of course. And, you know, there's a quarterback I like. There's a quarterback you like. I do think that there is depth at that position, and Brian Hoyer already ahead of schedule in his rehab, I think certainly could be a transition quarterback while you develop somebody if you decide to go somewhere else and use that Seattle model that we've been talking so much about in terms of surrounding the quarterback with the most complete group of talent possible. You've got Brian Hoyer, who has played well, and you allow him to compete with whoever it is you bring in. But there's no question, an early asset, probably not four, but an early asset will be used at that position in this draft.
All right, Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network is going to join us next of Football Friday. Vic and Nathan, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.